Our scripture readings today are first from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Israel, listen, our God is the Lord, only the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your strength. These words that I am commanding you today must always be on your minds. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are sitting around your house and when you are out and about, when you are lying down and when you are getting up. Tie them on your hand as a sign. They should be on your forehead as a symbol. Write them on your house's door frames and on your city's gates. And then from Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? He replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
She walks so close to that water, doesn't she? Good job. This is Linda, and she is one of our newest members of our church, and she has stepped right into serving, and we're thankful, Linda, for your reading today. In the Bible, we hear that Jesus called his disciples. In the book of Matthew, we hear that call was Jesus inviting them to discipleship. Discipleship. One definition of discipleship is an absolute engagement with the world through missionary activity. Absolute engagement with the world through missionary activity. Let us pray. Dear God, please use the words of my mouth in ways that will open up our hearts to you. Forgive us for words that get mixed up. And release us from the challenges of all that goes on out there in this world. Give us these moments with you, dear God, we pray. Help us to be your disciples, to hear your word, and to do your work in this world, we pray. Amen. So today we're invited to think about our purpose. Like, for what are you here? For what? Right? Or many like to say, for why? What is my why? Right? Why do I do things? We have, our ministry team meets every couple weeks, and whenever we talk about what are we going to do next at church, there is a question that comes up. What's the why? Or what's the when? What's the purpose of that? How does it bring people closer to knowing Jesus? And if around the table, it takes us a few extra sentences to get there. Sometimes we think, well, maybe that was just something fun to do, but not something that's going to grow us deeper in our knowledge or love of Christ. Maybe we should pass on that. That's hard to do, right? Especially if you're, well, if you know our ministry team, they like to do things, fun things. Yeah, right? But there's this deeper question that each of us is invited to answer in all of our actions, right? What is our why? What is our purpose in life? What are we hoping to get out of it or to connect with? How will this connect us deeper with God? Sometimes we have to ask the question, why have I been entrusted with this? Especially if it's a task we're not super excited about. For why have I been called to participate in this? We're invited to consider our why also in light of God's love for us, not just about you and who you are and what you can do, because if you're someone who believes, you believe that God put those skills in you, that they aren't just yours, right? That everything you do should point back to Jesus, should point others to knowing God, right? That we can't do this alone, whatever this might be. So as we go through life, we might try to identify our why, and your why might change. Whew. Your why might change. Oh boy, that can be confusing and upsetting and challenging. It can be costly. But as long as you keep looking for God and listening for God and trying to understand why and how God might use you in this world, it should be a good thing. We're asked to consider God's purpose for our lives and to consider that the most important thing that we do, that caring for that relationship between us and God and caring for others, God's people, and caring for creation, what God has made, that should help us connect and participate in life, in being Christians, as caretakers, as good creation. The thing I love the most is that we're not asked to do it alone. Oh, that feels so good. It feels relieving, actually. Right? There's a scripture that says, Jesus says, take on my yoke, right? The burden, right? We'll share it. Yeah. We're not asked to do this alone. Any of this, or this. It's expected that we journey together. We've become a church family who does things together, right? When one person is having a challenge, someone steps up to help. When someone's got plenty, then we all try to help with that too, right? We share amongst ourselves and hopefully with others, right? I'm reminded that Jesus didn't do ministry alone either. Not most of the time, right? Even in that first miracle, when the water was changed to wine, Jesus didn't even do it. He called on those who were serving to participate. When Jesus healed people, yeah, it might have been his touch or his look or his conversation, but it was in the crowd with others who had gathered. We're not asked to do it alone, but to be like the disciples and come together and utilize our individual strengths and our individual weaknesses to know where we can step aside and let God's work be done. Jesus bid Peter, Andrew, James, and John to come after him. Drop your fishing nets and come with me. He summoned these four fishermen and he said, step aside from what you have promised to do with your life and do something bigger. He grants them this opportunity to live in this sphere of living in God's time and caring for God's space and becoming a new family. No longer were they going to do that one thing that they'd set out to do, catch fish, which, by the way, didn't always work great, right? There's some good stories about that, too, in the Bible, right? Instead of only providing for your immediate family, come with me and help me provide for this bigger family, this group that will care for others, that leans into the Word of God and learns it and shares it, and shares it through action. Reading that, it reminded me that I've rarely asked you, do you feel as though you have been called to be a disciple? There's only like 45 of us here, so we could go around the room and you could all answer about your call. And I can just see from your faces how comfortable we all are with that concept. Yeah. But have you ever felt called to be a disciple, to really be someone who digs in, who leans in, who feels and thinks and does because of what God has put in your life or asked of you? And I won't give you my answer because I can see the gifts that so many of you have shared with this congregation, with this community, with this world. And it's exciting. It's beautiful, right? And I know there's some of you that every time we need a certain thing, you're the one we call, right? If I need help in the kitchen, I ask Linda, right? If I need to love a young or an old, I ask Becky, right? If I need to do something fun and I can't think of what it should be, I call down Dave. Everybody loves to play Dave's games, right? He has the best toys. But we don't all have to be all of those things. This series from that's trying to connect us to this movie Moana, I got from another pastor, and I've been trying to look at it and see what she's written and see how these little tidbits of ideas can help us. And one thing she suggests that we do is that one of you calls me in the middle of this sermon right now, that my phone rings and that I rudely answer it in front of all of you and then say, I can't finish because God has called me and I need to go, right? She said people would laugh. Yeah. Yeah. And I thought, oh, how rude. I try so hard to turn my phone off during church, right? Y'all have the same challenge. There's some calls that you just have to take. That's the point, right? Is that there are some calls we just have to take. And they aren't necessarily going to be easy. And they're not going to ask us to do something that's always fun or exciting or beautiful or filled with good food or fellowship. But they're just some calls that we have to take. There are some days we have to answer. It made me think that not all messages come through phone calls, though. You said text, which is right. A lot of them come through text, right? But I also feel like there's this opportunity for us to translate what some people around us who are buried in the good book, who know the stories of Scripture, who sing the songs of life. There are people who have spent years connecting with God and listening for God and figuring out that if we put solar panels in our here at our church this big, that we can not only power our building, but help others power theirs as well, right? There's people who have learned these things. And that sometimes the messages that God wants me to hear come most clearly through those around me who are translating this world into something I can understand. And sometimes those translations call us into something deeper. In the movie Moana, it's this deeper idea. There's something more. She stands at the edge of the water, not knowing, why am I feeling this pull? Have you ever found a place in this world where you feel so pulled or so blessed or so convicted or so invited to just pause so that you can open up your imagination to God? Oh, I hope so. Oh, I so sincerely hope so. And I will tell you from my own experience, it's not always in the place you'd expect, right? You'd hope it would be when you're on the beach, right? Or when you're sitting there with nothing scheduled for the next hour on your calendar. But it's often in busy moments, right? I remember being in the hospital recovering from the welcoming of one of our children and thinking, oh, now's not a good time, God. I'm not interested in listening right now. I'm tired. Yeah. I remember being in a crowd and looking around at faces and thinking, oh, goodness, what do you need from me? I don't have anything to give. I just want to play. Yeah. God doesn't always show up when it's convenient. Right? And Paul addresses that to the people, to the churches. In 1 Corinthians, he reminds us that God asks different things of each of us. To those who have been made holy in God and through Christ Jesus, all are called to be God's people. All have been called, all have a place in the work of God's eternal family. And our work starts with growing in our discipleship and growing with each other and to helping each other grow. Yeah. Here at Crossroads, we try to do that through Bible study and through English classes and Christian formation classes and opportunities for our children to learn and grow. We call it Sunday school, right? And in there, they get to read the Bible, and they get to sing, and they get to do crafts, and they get to hold instruments and learn how they work, right? And we try to offer some opportunities where we can become more deeply committed to caring for God's people. And one of those is mission projects, right, or mission trips. We have both of those going on this month. Right? Sometimes we like to collect things and fill things up. Like right now, we're being asked to help collect things due to the earthquakes in Venezuela. We're trying to backfill some of those shelves at the Midwest Missions because UMCOR is taking the things off that shelf and giving them to people who need them. And I don't know about you, but it feels really good when the shelf is full and there's plenty to backfill with, right? And so we're so thankful we have a team going from here at the end of July who've committed to going for a couple days and helping at Midwest Missions. And Dave's driving a truck, I heard. And so we get to fill the back of that truck with whatever we collect, and he'll take it so that we can backfill those shelves. Because that earthquake in Venezuela changed people's lives, and not in a super, like, yay, God kind of way, right? But the yay, God kind of thing is that people show up for each other, and they help each other, and they give what they can give, and they hand to each other with loving hearts. And thankfully, MCOR is the group that the United Methodist Church can trust to do that on our behalf, because we can't always go, right? What would it look like if we all showed up one day, huh? Charter one flight to Venezuela with a whole bunch of people with different skills, right? And different needs. No, sometimes we have to send someone else. But when we allow ourselves to feel the needs of others, to feel the interconnectedness with others, hopefully that can also help us understand better who God is. When we can allow ourselves to see the image of God in those around us, in one in need, or one who walks beside us, or one who helps us, then we get a closer relationship. And when we're really brave, when we can see the image of God in us, we can remember that God made you. God made me. God said, I made you in my image. In my image, I created you. That means you're beautifully and wonderfully made. Yeah. So first we have to hear the call, then we have to process that call, and then we have to figure out how we can act on that call. In a letter that Paul wrote to the churches, we'll find it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, it says that God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. God's purpose was to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ until we all reach the unity of faith and the knowledge of God's Son, Jesus. That God's goal for us is to become mature adults, to be fully grown, and the measure of that is by the standard of the fullness of Christ, that we may fully know Christ. We understand that today by looking at our scriptures through the lenses of experience and reason and tradition, and we can find that God has called others, and maybe in those calls we can find how that relates to our own call, how we might be asked to be like them. We have read messages of sacrifice, of mystery, of healing in the scriptures, and maybe you can see some of the qualities in those people and in the lives of those around you. You can see those too. And hopefully that helps you to understand God better. Because after our eyes and our ears are opened to the work that can be done in this world, then we can be the movers, the shakers, the doers, right? We can be in justice and mission ministries, and we can educate others. We can share what we've learned. Some of you are really good at reading the Bible and deciphering it. Then tell us what it says. Help us, right? Yeah. Educate, share, worship. Observe the word in the world and then bring it back here and translate it for us. Last week, in response to the word, I asked you to look around and to remember a place where you felt connected to God in this world or where you might see God in this world. And I asked you to share pictures of that. Tressie said she didn't get any pictures, so there's none to share. I told her, I think that just means that there's a technical issue and not that you didn't see God anywhere this week. So if you'd like to still share a picture of where you've seen God this week or last week, please feel free to send it in. But please keep looking. If you haven't gotten to that beautiful place where you know God is because of resources or time, and you have time or resources this week, go do it. If you have to close your eyes to do it, do that. Find God. Seek God in the familiar or the unfamiliar or the special. Moana searches for her purpose, and she is torn because she feels called to something outside of her island. She sings a beautiful song about standing on the edge of the water, long as I can remember, never really knowing why. And she concludes with, "One day I'll know." She's insightful. She's trusting. She's hopeful. But until she knows, until you know, please keep listening for God. Keep loving God with all of your being. Keep leaning into God with your heart and your strength. Keep teaching the next generation so that they never forget the love of God that's carried in our hearts, in our strength, and in our very being. And remember that you too are invited to something deeper, to loving yourself, to loving your neighbors. The message I hear in this movie is that you have to be ready. You have to get your body ready, your mind ready, your soul ready, so that when you are summoned to use your skills for God's work, you can go. I also hear that the path isn't always visible or easy to follow or filled with prizes along the way. And yet sometimes we still must journey to stick with it, to follow the skyline and the sunset and to listen for the wind and to learn the sounds of those around you so that you may decipher God's voice. We must be disciples. My prayer for you is that your vision may be clear enough to see, that your heart may be willing enough to look, and that your body may be ready to meet the next adventure that God has planned for you, that you may step out into the world with confidence. Confidence in knowing that you are loved by the Lord your God who created you, and that God will be with you this day and always. Amen.